Hello, this is the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service with reports and analysis from across the world. The latest news 7 days a week. BBC World Service podcasts are supported by advertising.
People started disappearing.
The Guzman just fell out of a helicopter.
Uh-oh, what's going on here?
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC.
Money is very, very dangerous.
Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to a special edition of the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service. Hello, I'm Oliver Conway, and this edition is published in the early hours of Friday, the 31st of May. Donald Trump has become the first former US president to be convicted of a criminal offence. The jury at his hush money trial in New York found him guilty on all 34 counts of falsifying business records. He said the case was rigged and the real verdict would come in the presidential election in November. He'll be sentenced in July. So, Donald Trump has become the first US president in history, current or former, to be found guilty in a criminal trial. After more than 11 hours of deliberation, just as they were about to be sent home, the jury sent a note to the judge to say they had reached their verdict. Our correspondent Neda Taufik was outside the court as the result came through.
Donald Trump found guilty on count one, Sumi. We are going through the rest of those counts, but already this is absolutely historic. Donald Trump losing this case, the jury finding the prosecution proved beyond a reasonable doubt that he tried to corrupt the 2016 election by creating a conspiracy and then falsifying business records to cover it up.
Neda, that
guilty on count two, Sumi. Yeah. Guilty on count three. Let's remember.
That just stopped me in my tracks. I can hear
and
the cheering. Tell us what's happening.
There is an eruption from the...
Neda Taufik outside the court in New York talking to Sumi Somaskandar on BBC television as the verdict was read out. Well, in the end, the former US president was found guilty on all 34 charges of falsifying business records. It related to a hush money payment to porn star Stormy Daniels before his election victory in 2016. A short while after the verdicts were read out, Mr. Trump emerged from the court to give his response.
This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA, and the whole thing, we didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting. We'll fight till the end, and we'll win, because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now from prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists, and they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble. But this was a rigged decision right from day one with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
Donald Trump, former US president and now convicted felon. Our correspondent in New York, John Sudworth, has covered the six-week trial throughout. And from outside the court, he gave me his reaction to the verdict.
There's no doubt about it. It's momentous. It was already history-making, the first ever criminal prosecution of a former US president. And now we have the first ever criminal conviction. Donald Trump, with the presidential election just a few months away, is campaigning as a convicted felon. The implications for him, for that election and the future of America are clearly massive as a result of this verdict, and a verdict delivered unanimously, as it had to be. All 12 jurors had to agree on this, but guilty on all 34 counts as well. The big question, of course, Oliver, is what the political implications are. Many Americans' minds already made up on both sides, but the, you know, the real thing that is very difficult to factor in is what this will mean for those crucial undecided voters. Will some of them now think twice if they were wondering about a vote for Donald Trump, about putting a cross next to a man who has a conviction and a criminal conviction behind him?
Yeah, a criminal conviction. The sentencing, well, the hearing will be in July, but it seems unlikely that he'll go to jail.
Most observers think that is unlikely. It's not impossible. The judge on these charges, which are felony charges, has the option of a custodial sentence. A lot of lawyers suggesting that, you know, if you look at similar cases where essentially sort of bookkeeping offences, the falsification of accounts have been used to disguise a bigger crime, if there's no violence involved, if it's a first-time offence, judges are often reluctant to send people to jail. But of course, it is not impossible. But we've also got to factor into that, Oliver, that even if we did reach that point, Mr. Trump will, of course, almost certainly appeal this verdict. And if that appeal were to go ahead, then the likelihood is that even in the event of a custodial sentence, he would be freed on bail while that appeal is ongoing. And that would, of course, be very likely to push any further hearings down the line until after the election.
And on that appeal, when might that happen? Would it be before the election?
I think that's very unlikely. Legal experts suggest possible grounds for an appeal. Throughout this case, the defence have complained about pretty much every aspect of it, but they might choose to focus on the evidence given by Stormy Daniels herself, which they would claim was so salacious, had so much sexual detail, that it was in itself prejudicial against Mr. Trump. They might also choose to focus on what some have argued was the fairly complex nature of the case, the idea that the prosecution were using these false accounting charges, normally minor misdemeanor offences, and elevating them to felony crimes because, they said, of that wider conspiracy, that bigger purpose behind them of attempting to unlawfully influence the 2016 election. All of that, of course, will need, first of all, Donald Trump's legal team will need to make their case for appeal. Then they'll need to be the court time will need to be scheduled. It will need to be heard. I think if you look at the speed of his other cases, it is unlikely that we will get an outcome this side of an election. You never know. But of course, for Mr. Trump, this is now, as it stands, something that he has to deal with here in this moment. And I think on that question, he is likely to use it, of course, to amplify that narrative that he is somehow the victim here, that this is the product of a political witch hunt, an orchestrated attack on him, what they call, what the Republican movement here have begun to call lawfare, the use of courts. Much of those allegations, of course, made with very little evidence, but it has become part of their narrative, and we are certainly going to hear a lot more of that in the coming days and weeks, wherever this goes next legally. Some polls do suggest that even amongst some of those Trump supporters, a small minority, when polls suggest that they might shift their support or at least question their allegiance to Donald Trump in the event that he was convicted of a felony. Well, here we are. How accurate might those polls be? How good are people at predicting their own motivations and their own likelihood of being swayed at some point in the future, with the election still some months away? We don't know. But in the end, this election will come down to politics. The next few months of campaigning, that will absolutely dominate, perhaps rather than what's happened in the court here today, as significant as it is.
John Sudworth in New York. Well, as Mr. Trump left the courthouse in his convoy, he waved to the crowd that had eagerly awaited the verdict. Here's how two members of the public responded in Times Square.
I don't know what to say. I did not think that this was actually going to happen, and I'm just I can't believe it. It's about time he was held accountable for something. I can't believe it. It's amazing.
Just takes you as a surprise?
It's an incredible surprise. I really didn't think he was ever going to get held to account for anything. And then the jury returned a guilty verdict. I'm stunned.
Man, I don't think that's really true. I mean, I don't know all the details about his case, but I truly think he didn't do it, my fault, pre-Trump. And I just want to see the truth come out, and I just want to see the true stories evolve.
And that was a couple of people in New York. Well, inevitably, after the verdict, there was plenty of reaction. This was former Watergate prosecutor Nick Ackerman.
Yeah, I am not the least bit surprised. Based on those two smoking gun notes of Weisselberg and McConaughey, the two Trump Organization employees, based on the self-inflicted wound of putting Bob Costello on the stand as part of their defense, and based on what we heard from the jury this morning in terms of what they asked for, they went right to the jugular in terms of going to the core of the allegations here by asking for evidence to be read back about the August 2015 meeting at Trump Tower, attended by Trump, David Pecker from the National Enquirer, and Michael Cohen, and then asked for that conversation that was just between Donald Trump and David Pecker in June of 2016. So it seemed that everything was going in that direction, so I'm not surprised.
Nick Ackerman on the verdict. Well, the BBC also heard reaction from Richard Painter, former White House ethics lawyer in the George W. Bush administration.
Well, this verdict was anticipated. The prosecution put on a very, very strong case. The only question was about the credibility of Michael Cohen, who, of course, himself went to jail and did lie. But there were lots of witnesses here. It was a very strong case for the prosecution. This is a prosecution by the Manhattan District Attorney. This has nothing to do with Joe Biden, despite what the former president said outside the courtroom. The case certainly will be appealed. I doubt that any prison time would result from this conviction. It's a serious matter. It's a felony. I would urge that the Republican Party think very seriously about who they want to nominate for president in the upcoming election. I don't believe that most Americans would vote for a convicted felon of the White House. And there are plenty of other very good candidates who could run on the Republican ticket. And Donald Trump had this coming. I mean, he's engaged in financial shenanigans for a very long time. He has a civil fraud verdict against him for several hundred million dollars. He has been doing this for quite a while, and the only thing that surprises me is that he didn't get hit with criminal charges like this a lot sooner in New York.
Richard Painter, former White House ethics lawyer. Well, some think Donald Trump may be able to turn this to his advantage. Rena Shah is a political analyst and former senior aide to two Republican members of Congress. She says the former president can be expected to use the verdict in the presidential campaign.
What he's going to also promulgate every airwave with is they did this to me and they'll do it to you too. And that's the message he has for the American people. But one thing is actually true. We have the empirical evidence to show that the Make America Great Again faction of the Republican Party has not only dwindled in size, but it has dwindled in influence. And so that is something to take into consideration is that, sure, the base is there. They support Trump at every turn. But will the base turn out? Will the party continue to support what will be a convicted felon? This is a historic moment, yes, but the real question is, how will the Republican National Committee and the leadership of today's Republican Party choose to move forward? They have been a party that has rewritten the rules to stand by every turn, so much so that even a brokered convention may not be a reality this summer.
Political analyst Rena Shah. As we record this podcast, the New York District Attorney who prosecuted the case, Alvin Bragg, has just been speaking. First of all, he thanked the 12 ordinary New Yorkers who served on the jury, and then he thanked his colleagues.
And while this defendant may be unlike any other in American history, we arrived at this trial and ultimately today at this verdict in the same manner as every other case that comes through the courtroom doors, by following the facts and the law and doing so without fear or favor.
New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Well, let's take a look now at some of the key witnesses in the trial. Here's our correspondent, Rachel Wright.
There was a whole host of colourful characters in this trial. Shall we start with Stormy Daniels, who was the adult film star? She says she met Mr. Trump in 2006 at a celebrity golf tournament in Nevada. Ms. Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, was 27 at the time and a rising star in the adult film industry. She claims that Mr. Trump propositions her and the two had sex soon after their introduction. Mr. Trump denies the encounter, of course, but Ms. Daniels alleges that a $130,000 hush money payment was paid to her from Michael Cohen, a lawyer for the Trump Organization, we'll talk about in a minute, just before the 2016 election to keep her silent about the encounter. Since her allegations became public, she's become a frequent target of Mr. Trump and his allies, but she's remained committed to testifying, and in fact, she took the stand for 2 days, gave a very dramatic testimony. She provided such lurid details, as John Sudworth was telling us, about her encounter with Mr. Trump, that his lawyers called for a mistrial. Justice Juan Merchan acknowledged there were some things that would have been better left unsaid and warned prosecutors not to ask for specifics of such a personal nature. She actually shared details about whether he wore a condom, that she spanked Mr. Trump with a magazine, and got all sorts of information about Mr. Trump's wife. Next to Michael Cohen was right at the centre of the trial. He was the fixer. He started working for Mr. Trump in 2006. He pleaded guilty to federal campaign finance crimes in 2018 over making the hush money payment to Ms. Daniels, but he maintains he sent the money at Mr. Trump's direction. He told the court that the former president aimed to conceal the scheme and avoid scandal by reimbursing him via a series of payments that were recorded as legal income. Mr. Trump has called his former confidant a liar, and his legal team attempted to attack Cohen's credibility.
Rachel Wright. A reminder that you're listening to a special edition of the Global News Podcast with the news that a jury has found Donald Trump guilty on all 34 counts of falsifying business records in his New York hush money criminal trial. Mr. Trump becomes the first president, current or former, in U.S. history to be convicted of a felony. President Biden has welcomed the verdict, saying it shows no one is above the law. But in a statement issued by the campaign for his 2024 re-election, he reiterated that as the presumptive Republican presidential nominee for November, Donald Trump continued to pose a threat to democracy. And he accused him of running what he called an increasingly unhinged campaign of revenge and retribution. However, the Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson, called the verdict a shameful day for America and said Mr. Trump would appeal. Well, our correspondent Gary O'Donoghue was outside court as the verdict was read out.
This is a moment in the history of the United States. The first time a former president has ever been found guilty of a crime, and Donald Trump has been found guilty by 12 peers, 12 women and men, from New York, of 34 separate counts of falsifying business records in order to conceal another crime. These are felony charges. This makes Donald Trump a convicted criminal. This gives him a criminal record. Never before in the history of this country has that ever happened.
Gary O'Donoghue at the court in New York. And as you could hear, some people in the park opposite were celebrating, shouting, "Lock him up." Others chanted in support of Mr. Trump. The BBC's Kayla Epstein has been covering the court case every day and was in court when the verdict was announced. She gave her assessment to my colleague, Neda Taufik.
So it was almost like the air turned to stone when they started reading out those guilty verdicts one by one. And as each count and each guilty verdict rolled over him, Donald Trump was completely motionless at the defense table. I was sitting directly behind him, and while I couldn't see his face, his body language was some of the stillest I've ever seen it. He didn't move. He didn't gesture. He just sat there as they said guilty, guilty, guilty 34 times.
I mean, these jurors sat through 5 weeks of testimony. Prosecutors left absolutely nothing to chance. Ultimately, it took them 11 hours to come to this decision, a decision that they knew would have a historic impact, not just on holding Donald Trump accountable, but on a presidential election that is underway. Looking at the jury, did you get a sense that they were overwhelmed by that moment?
The jury actually looked quite serious, and they did look very somber, but they didn't look overwhelmed to me. They, throughout the entire trial, they have looked like people who knew the weight of the job that they had to do, but also were focused on their task. And when the judge asked them to all go one by one and say what they believed, they all said guilty. Again, some not as loudly, but all in a clear voice.
I think it has struck all of us how Donald Trump publicly has slammed this judge as conflicted, but Judge Mershon has such a mild manner in the court. When the verdict was read, what advice did he give to jurors when they had completed their civic duty?
Justice Mershon has been, you know, a real figure of authority and respect to the jury. He speaks to them very kindly. He makes sure that this doesn't disrupt their lives any more than it has to. And when they were done delivering their verdict, he thanked them. He said that he had watched as they deliberated. He had watched how much care that they put into it.
Let's turn back to Donald Trump, because as he left, he turned to his family in that moment, didn't he?
Yeah. The only family member who was in court with him today was Eric Trump, his second eldest son. And as Trump got up and left the defense table, he passed right by Eric, who was sitting right in the front row. And he seemed to grab his upper arm or his chest in almost like a moment of a fatherly gesture. And while I don't know what was going through his mind or who was comforting who, he did reach out for the closest family he had at that moment before he walked out of the courtroom without saying a word.
But he made a comment that ultimately the real verdict is going to be November 5th in the election. You heard this evidence. Was there any surprise that the jury did find Donald Trump guilty based on the evidence? Just how overwhelming and compelling was it?
I wasn't in the jury room, and no one will know unless the jurors decide to speak what went through their minds as they weighed the evidence. But we do know that the prosecution told a very compelling, very cohesive narrative from start to finish, from opening statements to closing arguments. They brought reams of evidence, text messages, emails, testimony from 20 people, most of them key players in this case. And, you know, while we may never know what was the decisive piece of evidence, they clearly dodged one of the biggest question marks in this case, which was Michael Cohen's credibility. So much of this case hinged on him. Clearly, the jury was able to see past Cohen's flaws and perhaps find their way to a guilty verdict.
You know, we've seen Donald Trump's evolution here in New York from real estate mogul, reality TV star, president ultimately, and now convicted felon. For New Yorkers who are here who have called Donald Trump a con man, none other than Robert De Niro, here for the Biden campaign just a few days ago, there were celebrations that broke out in the park here. Many coming out with statements, including the Biden-Harris campaign, saying that Donald Trump mistakenly believed he would never face consequences for breaking the law. American people face a simple reality. The only way to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office at the ballot box. That from the Biden campaign, saying in New York today, they showed no one was above the law. The White House saying, though, we respect the rule of law and have no additional comment. Kayla, when you reflect on the campaigns ahead, how do you think Donald Trump will use this verdict to try to get out of the political danger that he clearly faces with independent voters?
We are going to be hearing about this verdict every day until Election Day in November. Trump is going to use it to rally support from his base. He has done a very good job of keeping his supporters close to him by making the argument that they're really going after me because they're going after you. They're trying to silence me because they're trying to silence you. Meanwhile, we are going to see Joe Biden attacking Donald Trump's, you know, fitness for office based off of this. And this is going to run through the entire election. You know, we talked about sentencing here in July. That's right before the Republican National Convention, where Trump will officially become the Republican nominee. And so this verdict will have ripple effects. Now, can we get into the minds of individual voters right now? We don't know. But polling has shown that at least some voters might turn away from Trump if he actually is convicted in one of his criminal trials, as he has been here.
Kayla Epstein talking to Neda Taufik, both of whom have been covering the trial extensively. Well, the big question is, what are the political implications of this verdict? Brian Klass is an associate professor in global politics at University College London.
Well, it is a historic day. I mean, this is 34 felony counts for the person who's almost certainly going to be on the ballot as the Republican nominee. And the most astonishing thing is that he still has a chance to win, and that the U.S. Constitution does not ban felons from serving as president. So this will have shockwaves in terms of its political impact, and it does make it less likely that he will win in November, I think. But it is still clearly a viable candidacy, and it's a sort of barometer for how the country has been so divided that even a convicted felon could actually win the presidency. Basically, to understand this, you have to look at two different camps. So among his base, who believes that he's persecuted, this will strengthen their conviction that he is, in fact, the victim of a system out to get him. So his base will be fired up by this. He'll probably raise a lot of money. But elections are decided by people in the middle. They're decided by people who are undecided or who are independent. And the average person who's undecided does not look at 34 felony convictions after being involved in an illegal hush money payment to a porn star and the cover-up around it and think, that's my guy. And as a result of that, I think that when you look at an election that's very close, this is likely to reduce his support by a few percentage points, and that's what the election will be decided by. So the odds of Trump winning the election, I think, decreased as a result of this verdict. He still potentially could win, but I think that this is definitely bad news for him, even as it may consolidate his base even further.
Brian Klass. Well, as we're hearing, this is a devastating outcome for the former president. Donald Trump will be campaigning as a convicted criminal. The verdict could energize his supporters, but in key swing states in the Midwest and the Sun Belt, some voters may be unhappy about supporting a candidate with a criminal record. Our North America correspondent, John Sudworth, looks back at the trial.
You are looking at live pictures of the courthouse.
President Donald Trump on his way back.
And we will pick it up from here. It is day two of the nasty storytelling.
From the start, there was an Only in America feel to a trial that had it all.
The fixer turned foe, Michael Cohen.
Sex, scandal, and the shattering of political convention with the first ever criminal prosecution of a former U.S. president. And now, the first conviction. Donald Trump, the jury found, paid money to a porn star to cover up an allegation of an affair, unlawfully hiding it from voters just ahead of his 2016 election.
The 2005 video obtained by the Washington Post captures Donald Trump apparently unaware he is being recorded.
A few weeks before that victory, an explosive videotape was released in which Mr. Trump said he could do anything he wanted to women, including grabbing them by their genitals. Not only was it seen as having the potential to seriously damage his candidacy, prosecutors argued that it also raised the stakes over the other allegations of extramarital affairs and sexual misconduct he was facing.
I have no idea who these women are.
On the campaign trail, he issued vehement denials while acknowledging, in speeches submitted as evidence, that the allegations could hurt his chances.
If 5% of the people think it's true, and maybe 10% think... We don't win.
Which is where Stormy Daniels comes in.
So he turned around and pulled his pants down.
A porn star who claimed she had sex with Mr. Trump in a Nevada hotel back in 2006, not long after his wife Melania gave birth to their son. He's always denied the affair, but with the presidential election just days away, his lawyer, a man called Michael Cohen, paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 for her silence. Here she is being interviewed for CBS's 60 Minutes in 2018.
Was it hush money to stay silent?
Yes. The story was coming out again. I was concerned for my family and their safety.
This was the crux of the prosecution's case. They argued that Mr. Trump's reimbursement of Michael Cohen was improperly disguised as legal fees, normally a minor misdemeanor crime. But what made it a more serious felony crime, they argued, was that Mr. Trump knew the payments were to improperly influence an election. And furthermore, it was part of a pattern. The court heard a secret recording Mr. Cohen made of a conversation with his boss.
I'm all over that. And I spoke to Alan about it when it comes time for the financing, which will be...
Listen, what financing?
We'll have to pay you. So.
No.
I got...
In which the prosecution said a hush money payment to another woman was being discussed. In the end, the jury were clearly convinced by those arguments, despite the best efforts of the defense to discredit Mr. Cohen, portraying him as a bitter, compulsive liar motivated by revenge as a result of his own conviction and jailing in 2018 on tax offenses as well as the payment to Stormy Daniels, illustrating their point by playing the jury a clip from one of Mr. Cohen's podcasts, broadcast last year.
I truly hope that this man ends up in prison. It won't bring back the year that I lost or the damage done to my family, but revenge is a dish best served cold.
But the prosecution hadn't tried to hide Mr. Cohen's criminal convictions or his history of lying. Instead, they argued that was the whole point. He'd been lying in the payoff and under the instruction of Mr. Trump. The jury, it seems, agreed.
There's so many people here. Man.
Throughout the trial, Donald Trump has repeated endlessly, without evidence, his claim that it was nothing more than a plot directed against him by President Joe Biden to keep him from power. Leaving aside the great irony of such a claim coming from a man who tried to cling to power in 2021 despite losing comprehensively to that same opponent, it's likely to grow even louder now. But while Mr. Trump's self-image as a political martyr may well rally his base, there's one big unknown, those crucial, undecided voters. How much might this verdict, delivered by 12 ordinary citizens assembled in a humdrum New York courtroom, make some of them think twice about voting for a convicted felon as president?
John Sudworth, on the day that Donald Trump became the first U.S. president in history, current or former, to be found guilty in a criminal trial. And that is all from us for now, but the Global News podcast will be back very soon. This edition was mixed by Nikki Bruff. The producer was Richard Hamilton. Our editor is Karen Martin. I'm Oliver Conway. Until next time, goodbye.